Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, in conversations with people from time to time, something like this will come out of people's mouths, our mouths. I just got to know God's perfect plan. I want to know God's perfect plan. You're facing something, going through something. What's God's perfect plan? You're making a decision about something in your life. I want God's perfect plan. Of course, sometimes we say, God, I've got the perfect plan. If you would do this, then, yeah. You know, we wrestle sometimes with God's will. What am I supposed to do? When am I supposed to do it? How am I supposed to handle this? And those are good things. Those are great questions for all of us to say, you know, God, I do want your will, and I need your wisdom, and I need help, and all of those things. It's just that sometimes I find that when we are looking for God's will, his perfect plan, it always has, from our perspective, it always has to do with, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Will you direct me? These are options before me, or this is a problem before me, and would you direct me, and what's your will, and what's your perfect plan in this? And I think that's all right, and I think that that is good, and I think that we see that biblically. We see people in the Bible pray and ask God those types of questions. I think it's right. But I want to share with you his primary perfect plan for you. You're like, how in the world can you do that? Because it's in his word. It's not that I'm smart. It's there in front of us. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. A very familiar passage is Romans chapter 12. We know Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. But I want to just remind you, I want to reference it. And it says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that what? So that you are able, that we are able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. I want to tell you right up front that his perfect plan has to do with his plan of making you perfect. His plan is to make you perfect. That is his primary purpose when it comes to doing his will in our life. We usually associate what's your perfect plan that has to be around something that I decide to do, rather than around the decision of who we're supposed to become. And I don't mean a title. And I don't mean climbing the ladder. I'm talking about the character and the nature and the virtue of God being who we become. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Well, the verse talks about how do we stop doing that? We have to renew our mind. We have to think differently. We have to think differently about things. You know, when we come into Christ, we're a new creation. Behold, all things are becoming new. It's a new way, right? The old is past. Behold, the new things, the new way of thinking. Some of our old tendencies are not welcomed where we are going when we follow Christ. You've experienced this. Things change in our life when we follow him, and there's a process to it. And understand that his perfect plan is the plan to make you perfect. And that is more important to him than what you will do. Now, does he have a plan and a purpose for, you know, for you and what you are supposed to do? Sure. We see his call all the time to people in the Bible. He called them to do this. But in the process, if you ever noticed, he was really transforming that person. Right? Transforming us, changing us. That we look a little less like us and a lot more like him as we pursue his call and his direction. But understand, I got to tell you this. If you say no to what he wants you to do, and it's not that he won't ask you again or draw you or try to change your heart and mind, but I got to tell you something. He's not worried if you say no. He's got a string of people lined up. You and I are not the only funnel of the Holy Spirit to people. I remember a story from Reinhard Bonnke, great evangelist. God used him powerfully in crusades and other parts of the world. Well, in the U.S. too, but mostly in other parts of the world. And God called him to attempt to put a Bible in every home. And so as he tells this story about God calling him to do this, and he works his way through the conversation with God about how am I going to do this and, you know, the why me. And he says, how come you're calling me to do this? And God, he said, God spoke to him very clearly. And he said, you weren't my first choice. In other words, he spoke to some other individuals who said no. So I want you to know that he has plans for you. He has calls for you and direction for you to do certain things in this life. But his primary plan, his perfect plan, has more to do with us being transformed and changing and making us perfect. So don't get too tangled up and stressed out about, well, should I do this and should I do this and should I do this or should I do that? We should ask the questions. We should certainly pray about it. We should be led by the Spirit. But I want to tell you, you and I need to be a little more concerned about his perfect plan and his plan to perfect us, to be more like him. It'll help. I'll tell you, when we grasp that, it'll help us navigate our outlook through difficult times for this reason. Our question and focus changes from, what am I going to do? Oh, what's your perfect plan? To, I'm going through this. Now, how does this play a part in perfecting me? Because that is your ultimate purpose when it comes to your will concerning me. It changes our outlook. What needs to change about me? Me going through this, what is it supposed to change in me to perfect me, to become more like him? Romans 8, you know Romans 8, 28 and 29. In 29 it says that we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of God's Son. Being made into his image, his likeness, in character, in virtue, in our life. Now listen, the work on the cross, what Jesus did, giving himself up. Okay, he who is sinless, giving himself up for those of us who are sinful and born into sin. That work on the cross has everything to do with us being justified, us being sanctified through his act, So I want you to hear this, that Christ's work on the cross and in his resurrection, okay, that is something that he did that is made accessible to us. That is a thing that happened outside of us, but has launched us and given us opportunity now to have an inward work happen. His sacrifice on the cross justifies me, us. Do you know what justified means? I'm going to put it to you in these terms. Justified is when you have been released and endorsed as if you had never done anything wrong. I mean, we don't have to survey our life probably too far behind us to find something wrong, some sin, something we didn't do right, or we weren't like Christ. When he did that work on the cross, we hear words like justified in the scripture. He justified us. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. And when we put faith in him as the Son of God, our Savior, it applies what he has done now to our life. It's available, but we apply it through faith. And even that takes a work of the Holy Spirit within us to draw us to that place. But when that happens, we are justified. We're cleansed, we're forgiven, we are justified in God's sight as if we had never sinned. You see, he never sinned. He gave to you and I that which we did not have or who we weren't on our own. And he took upon himself that which we have been. And so the Bible talks about this work that happened outside of ourselves to lead us to an inside work. And when he went to the cross, was crucified, dead and buried, and you find this throughout the New Testament, these principles, and you'll see them revealed in the Old Testament of what was to come. But when he rose from the dead, it sealed the deal. Listen, Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. I want you to listen to this. Okay? It will be counted to us who believe in him. Hopefully that's all of us. If not, you can change that today and put your faith in him. Us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our sins and raised for our justification. Have you ever had a clear conscience? At least, just for a moment. I have this clear conscience. Okay. As if you didn't do something wrong. I want you to know that when Jesus did this, and I said it already a couple times, but I want you to get this, it's as if you had never sinned because he gave you who he was, who he is, sinless, and said, I'll take your sin and I'm going to have you look like me before my Father in heaven. There's partially a process of sanctification that goes on where we get cleaned up. Jesus paid for my sin. He made me clean. Well, we all know that through Scripture, sanctification, it comes working together through two veins. One is what Jesus did. His blood was shed. It cleans me. But how many of you notice, since, for those of you who put faith in Christ, since you put faith in Christ, you still sin? Anybody? Okay, you six people can stay with me. The rest of you can... You still sin. There is also this ongoing transformation, this ongoing sanctification. We have been, through faith in Christ and what he's done, I am justified before God. as I continue to operate in faith, that's not a one-time thing. Oh, yeah, you justified me. I can go live like I want. Paul talks about it. Other places talk about it. Don't continue in sin. Rid yourself of all these things that are sinful. Those who are involved in this and live this life practice, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You can find all of those verses. So there's this ongoing perfecting that happens. He's done it by what he did on the cross and in his resurrection. We're justified. Sanctified, you find it in Hebrews 10:10. This process of being cleaned is now part of this inward work. What he did on the cross and the justification, that initial sanctification, it was outside of us. But it gives now a launching pad for an inside work to happen. We're out of our faith and his faithfulness and grace and mercy. He changes us, and his perfect plan is to perfect us through him. And so one of the ways that that happens in this life is things that sometimes aggravate us or frustrate us or create difficulty and challenge for us. And the old self shows up. The Jesus isn't living out of us, and we realize, I've got to crucify me. I've got to be transformed. I have to be raised to new life in Christ. That the old does pass away, and behold, things are new. I can't keep controlling things like I did before. I've got to surrender to him. I've got to crucify this flesh. I've got to allow him to live in me, because his perfect plan is the plan to perfect me. His perfect will can be accomplished in who I become in addition to the things that I do. The sanctification process, circumstances usually are used. How do we deal with it? Do I always deal with it like I used to, or am I dealing with it differently? Have I grown in patience? Have I grown and changed? And, you know, there's joy that's still part of my life when I face something. When I face things that aren't funny. But do I still have a joy and a peace in here that comes out? Am I becoming more like Jesus? Things like, and for the joy that was set before him, that endured the cross and its shame. Wow. How would you and I face that? You see, that's Jesus. That's what he looks like. It's who he is. James chapter 1, verse 4. It says this, let perseverance have its perfect work, its finishing work in us, so that we may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect, right? Not life is perfect, all the circumstances are perfect, it's all ease. No, no, we're still here on earth. That's heaven, where everything is perfect. But you and I are called and being transformed by his perfect plan to perfect us in this life. And part of becoming perfect in the process and that sanctification is being challenged by the things of this life. Now, that doesn't mean that he's purposely trying to make things hard for you and I. He is just saying, let perseverance, let faithfulness, let your perseverance in pursuing him, following him, regardless of how you and I feel, that our faith is expressed in that, and God helps us and strengthens us, that we don't grow weary in well-doing, because when we finish, there will be great reward. And by the way, the reward is him. It's him. The one who we serve and call and believe that we have not seen face to face. He's the reward. If you and I got our eyes just on all the rewards and plaques and the hallowed hallways of heaven that have your name on, that others will go, wow, look at them. They're really great. They're in the Hall of Fame. No, no. Listen, the reward is the person of Jesus. To be with him, to behold him, finally, after all of this life of toil, he's the prize. He who gave his life for you and I, he's the prize. It's a person. It's not a thing that will tarnish. It's not a thing that sparkled one day, but we lose appreciation for, like the things in your garage or in your house that you were so enamored to get. A Harley. And after a while, you appreciate it. But even a Harley just becomes a motorcycle. But in heaven, he does not tarnish. The prize is him. And he wants to present his bride. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's you. That's you. His bride. How? We find it in Ephesians 5. Without spot. Without wrinkle. Listen, I have done a lot of weddings in my lifetime. A lot of weddings. I have met a lot of brides. I've knocked on the door and said, is everyone decent? And I walk in and there's the bride and there's, you know, if she has a mother, her mother's there and some, you know, funeral director, yeah, same thing. Wedding coordinator. Sorry, the funeral director's usually with the guys. Sorry, anyhow. A wedding coordinator. There's the bridesmaids. They're all, you know, making sure they're okay. But, you know, they're around the bride. And, oh, you know, this, they got to straighten this and look at this. And, oh, look at this and put this on and stand still and don't move and do your... Because she wants to look like she really isn't. She's beautiful all the time, I get it. But that day, I mean, most of you, I'm guessing most of you women do your own makeup. You're not bringing a team in every morning. But on that day, we got to start at 5 a.m. The salon's opening early. We've paid extra. They're going to start painting, whatever. Renovations, whatever it is. Because you want to be coming down that aisle without spot, without wrinkle. Do you know they bring multiple steamers into that room? No wrinkles on the dress. There can't be a spot, a speck. Man, and the headdresses that they wear. I don't know what those are called. What are they called? A veil, that part I knew, but what's the thing that kind of goes around the, I mean, it's a helmet? Yeah. No, that's with the guys in the suits. Okay. I mean, it's like she has to float out of that room, down the hallway and into the chapel without spot, without wrinkle. Not like the groomsmen. Whatever, wrinkled, whatever, they can't figure out how to do a bow tie. They put the cufflinks in the other direction. I mean, they're on their own. Not the bride. He wants to present you to his Father without spot and without wrinkle. In Ephesians, Paul says, you husbands, you that bride, you wash her with the word. That she's cleansed by it. This is what this is for in us. It tells us what to do, but it's telling us what to become. Who we're supposed to be. This inward work that he started with an outward display, giving us opportunity for an inward work to be made perfect, forgiven and justified, and the ongoing work to be perfected. I want you to hear that his perfect plan for you is the plan to perfect you. And it's more important than the things you will do in this life. We get wrapped up in the doing. And we do need to do things and be productive. That's part of who he is fruitful. But we have to have a transformation because that has to do with faith. I want you to know on that day when your time is up, you don't get to show up with a resume and say all the things that you've done, and that's why you should hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There are those who came to Jesus and said, "We did this in your name, we did this in your name, we did this in your name, we did this in your name," and he said, "I never knew you." Why did God say it? Because they don't look like his son. Do you and I look like Jesus to him? The perfect plan has to do with perfecting us. And the way that this happens is we have to realize that through repentance, asking forgiveness, and forsaking who we were, and embracing who we're supposed to become, Jesus. It comes through that repentance process, and it brings to us, for those who already believe, a reviving. Has there in your life, if you are already a believer, has there in your life, have you had the little tear in the couch? You're like, what does that mean? You ever have a couch that had like just a little tear in it? Oh, when it first happened, it just really bugged you. Right? You just, no one could hardly notice it, but you knew it was there. It bothers you. Oh. As time goes by, you don't notice it so much. And the tear slowly gets bigger. You ever have that happen? It gets a little bigger, a little bigger. And then there's this obvious tear in the outer fabric of the couch. But 3 years later, you're just so used to it. Let me ask you something. In your walk with the Lord, have you experienced a little tear in the couch? You got used to it. There's no ongoing sanctification. It'll be a surprise in the end when we think, hey, I talked to the Lord, shed a tear here and there, did pretty good, became a little like him, and in the end we find out we weren't all right like we think we were. And I'm not trying to create insecurity here on the Lord's part. He loves us completely. He justified us completely. He sanctified us completely. He is willing to walk through the sanctification process, the Holy Spirit sanctifying us and speaking to us and changing us and bringing forth the fruit of Christ, that His strength would be made perfect in our weakness, and that strength of His would shine through us. Or do we just kind of like think, I'm doing pretty good. I'm all right. Jesus and I, we're good. It'd be a terrible thing in the end to find out you weren't all right. That we stopped short in becoming who we're supposed to be. Are you, am I, completely like Him? Because that is His perfect plan for you. We need a reviving. If we have a tear in the couch we've gotten used to, it's just there, it becomes the way of life for us and however we're living, and we just grow used to it. We're familiar, we're comfortable. It doesn't upset us anymore. Then, if that's where we're at, that is a sign we need reviving. And reviving happens through repentance. Restoration happens through repentance. Great revival happens through repentance. Being refreshed and restored to where we were in our intensity of following Him. Not going back to who we were before, but where He wants to bring us and who we're going to become. Do we look more like Him? You struggle with His will over something? Seek Him about it, ask for wisdom. He gives generously. Trust Him, follow Him. Let Him show up in the moment you need Him to show up. But I'm telling you, you better have a focus. You and I had better have a focus. I had better have a focus on who He is wanting me to be, not just what I do. Why don't you stand up with me, please? When you hear somebody say that they're a Christian, it kind of sets up your expectation of them, doesn't it? That they should look like the one they're following, right? Now, we know the person who says that. If we stop and pause and think, we know that, well, they're not perfect yet. But the expectation is there. The expectation is they should act like Christ. It's about not what you're doing, but the value of your character and nature. Say the word transform. Say these words, renewed thinking. We don't get to heaven by our works. It's by what He did for us. It is by grace we are saved through faith, Paul writes. But based upon that faith, we have a responsibility. We are supposed to, with God's help, prove by the person we become that our faith in God's grace has transformed us. It's not just saying we believe. It's that we believe and we follow. and we transform and we change our mind from who we were to who we are becoming. Other than Jesus, all the greats in here, people we read about that just did great things, almost all of them in here had great failures. You can go through Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, Elijah. You go on. We get glimpses of their failures. But they continued. They continued. And I want to tell you, don't grow weary in your transformation process. They kept going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. He's got a plan in motion for you, who you're becoming. Which, by the way, will empower the things that you do. Right? When a credible person in character comes and says something to you, it has a greater impact, doesn't it? Right? See, who you become as a person will empower what you do for him. If you don't become and you just do, it might look good, but it's hollow. It's hollow. What did Jesus say to the religious leaders? They're whitewashed tombs. The tomb looks good on the outside, decorated, washed, looking good. And he says, but inside, it's dead men's bones. Empty. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit. Right? Full. Overflowing. The empowerment to do, because he's given us the empowerment to be like him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.